Welcome to Keeping Up with the Kick-Ass Canadians. I'm talking today with mobile advisor and entrepreneur Rob Woodbridge, who is also the host and founder of Untethered.tv, a web channel that features hundreds of interviews with mobile experts. Rob, welcome to the program.
Good day. Glad to be here.
So when we did our interview for this website, that was almost 3 years ago, and you said that mobile had the potential to be bigger than the internet industry and the PC industry combined. How has it delivered on that promise so far?
Well, I don't think it took a genius to see even 3 years ago that this was going to happen. So, you know, when you start to hear numbers from services like Facebook and services like Twitter and services like our own phone carriers who are saying that there's a huge decline in the use of voice versus data, you quickly realize how much of an impact this has had. So we are at that point. This year, 2013, has been an inflection year for mobile, and we're well on our way.
So it hasn't exceeded your expectations at all. Has it surprised you in any way? Has it taken any different avenues than you expected?
You know, it surprised me in one way, is that we still hear people who are in the middle of such a transformation in their industry, like the retail industry, for example, still denying the fact that mobile can help their business. It just, I'm always astounded when I hear this, is that a lot of people are just shying away from it, especially in the retail space. They don't think it can motivate or push people to actually make a purchase.
So what I mean, how do you advise your clients when you're telling them how best to leverage a mobile as a means of engaging their customers, audiences? What sort of the hot tips you give them?
Well, you know, I always talk about crafting a mobile experience. So it's not just about building an app anymore. It's not just about building a mobile website anymore. It's yes and no to both of those. But it is creating this inviting experience for your customer to feel like you are listening, they are participating in your business, and to focus on the things that you need to get done. So if it's about attracting new customers, I'm not as hot on that in mobile as it is about, you know, loyalty and maintaining existing relationships. But it's about crafting that relationship. It's a crafting experience. So when somebody lands on your website from a mobile device, what does that do? Don't put up a banner ad. Don't ask them for something. Give until they're deeper into the website or deeper into your experience, and then ask them for something. It's just... I see so many people making so many mistakes about the ask far too soon, or putting banner ads in their applications, or not listening to what their customers are asking for.
Are there any good examples of Canadian companies who are doing a great job creating this mobile experience?
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, I think that they're global companies right now, not just Canadian companies. But I mean, if you think about some of the quick serve restaurants, some of the loyalty restaurants that, you know, like Starbucks, for example, I know it's not a Canadian company, but they're doing a great job up here in Canada about creating loyalty around their brand through their mobile applications. And companies that are not doing a great job, companies like Tim Hortons, right? Our native homegrown coffee shops are doing terrible jobs. They're not quite there. But I think that the best one thus far, and it's sad to say, is Loblaws. You know, they have a loyalty program with a mobile application that allows you to do a whole bunch of things, including check your balance of points, pay for points, understand what you spend money, and it tracks all of your bills. It does a whole bunch of things all from the application. I think they've done a great job of that.
What are your thoughts on how security concerns could limit the expansion of mobile? You know, just paying on the go, that kind of thing.
There's so many people that are in this business right now around payments, around accepting payments, that you've got to remember that we're in this kind of, sludge of an industry right now where there's a whole lot of people playing and a whole lot of companies vying for the same business. But, you know, I think it shakes out really well, is that most of the transactions are done still through the traditional credit card companies, Visa and MasterCard, and they have security parameters. They have things in place, set in motion, that are still protecting the consumer. But you know what? You know, if there's ever a prediction to think about, there's going to be a catastrophe of some huge magnitude around payments and security and privacy coming in the next couple of years that will readjust our expectations like there was in the web.
You're thinking fraud, that kind of thing?
I'm thinking something, a breach of some sort, yeah, where credit cards are exposed, or, you know, what we once thought was secure is no longer secure, and all of a sudden it's going to be it's going to be brought up to the to a highest level, and then it'll adjust. I mean, that's what credit card companies did during the web days when there was a breach. They put in these parameters. It's the only way, really, that these companies move when something goes wrong. And then they guarantee purchases, so they put insurance around purchases, and they ease our minds as consumers, and we move on. We don't think about that today on the web, do we?
Is there anything people can do now to protect themselves, or do you think it's just a matter of it's going to have to happen and then we'll learn what to do?
The only way to protect yourself is don't participate. Right? And so if you're fine with that, don't be a part of this until it's bulletproof. It's a lame answer. It's a lame answer, but you know this is you know we're in the early days of the payment space, and or use a closed loop system like iTunes or like PayPal.
Yeah.
They've been around long enough to be able to accommodate these things, or even Amazon these days as well.
Well, what do you think is the next big thing for mobile, aside from the security breach?
You mean on a positive side? I think that this 2014, 2015, you're really going to start to see people come up with innovative ways to use this technology. So we're talking about the wearable space and the Internet of Things and pervasive computing. And part of that is, in-store experience, which I think is going to be huge. And this is where you're talking about something like iBeacon from Apple, where, you know, when you walk in the store, it acknowledges that you're in the store. It pushes you deals that are tailored towards you, but it's done in a seamless way in the background, behind the application, so to speak. I think that those kind of technologies are going to advance very quickly. And, of course, the wearable ones. Everybody seems to be carrying like a Fitbit or a Sony band or something to that extent. And we're going to move into, over the next 18 months, you know, really fabric woven with sensors that tie into your phone that give you readings. And it's going to help the medical industry quite a bit.
I can imagine. Well, and what's the next big thing for Rob Woodbridge?
I think that I've maintained Untether.tv for 4 years. It has been a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, I've always threatened to take this a little bit more seriously as I go forward. And I've dabbled with it. And I think I've done it a disservice by not really, attacking it. So 2014 is my year to attack Untether.tv, is to either turn this into a full-time endeavor, which is the entrepreneurial side, and build the company, or keep it as a hobby, but focus elsewhere on some other startups. So this is 2014 for me is the year of Untether.tv. One way or another, by the end of this year, it will either be a business or it won't.
So for people who want to learn more, Untether.tv and also robwoodbridge.com. Thank you so much for the time this morning. It was great talking with you.
Thanks, Amanda. Anytime.